Sarah Holmgren.
Here.
Jay Lister.
Here.
Carrie Case.
Here.
Katie Holmland.
Here.
Meg Litster.
Here.
Okay. Our student rep will join us next meeting.
Do we know who that is?
The elections have not happened.
Okay. Well, we were awfully excited about that, but we'll have to wait till next month. Okay. Rise for the Pledge of Allegiance, please.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
I'll make a motion to approve the agenda, if I could have a second.
I'll second it.
Motion has been made and seconded by Katie. Any discussion or changes? Okay, hearing none. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion passes 5-0. Correspondence?
We do not have any.
Okay. Comments from the audience unrelated to agenda items? See anybody? Okay. Comments from the audience related to agenda items? And nobody online, Mara?
It is an echo. Is that what you're hearing?
Yeah. Is somebody logged into the meeting?
Oh, no. Oh, yeah.
Is it me? I turn it off. I don't know what I'm doing.
Just mute, maybe.
Is that better?
It's not me. Someone else. Okay, so if we don't see anybody online, we'll go ahead. We're just hearing an echo for those that are listening, so we were trying to figure out where that echo was coming from. Comments from board members?
I have a comment.
Mm-hmm.
It might be in the report from our principal as well. Friday's middle school service day was super awesome. I got to help out doing some litter getting. We had 20 kids out there with my group anyway, helping clean up litter. Some of them helped with humanity in progress. Some of them were pulling weeds over at the greenhouse and on the back track area and just spread out all through town. It was really cool to see our kids really engaged in it too and be a part of that. So just, it was a lot of coordination from our teachers to get volunteers there and figure out where all these kids were going to go. But it was really cool to see our kids out there and really having fun doing it. So thank you for the effort in organizing that to our teachers, because it was awesome.
Great. Any other comments from board members? Okay, we'll move on to the consent agenda. I'll make a motion to approve the consent agenda. Have a second?
I'll second that.
Motion's been made and seconded by Carrie. Any discussion? Includes our usual accounting, but also our regular board meeting minutes, our personnel action report. So hearing no discussion, motion's been made and seconded. Mara, could you please call the roll?
Yes. Jay Lister.
Yes.
Sarah Holmgren.
Yes.
Meg Litster.
Yes.
Katie Holmland.
Yes.
Carrie Case.
Yes.
Okay. Motion passes 5-0. Moving on to our administrative reports already. Superintendent report. Superintendent Clutane.
Okay. Well, we are off to a great start, and it's nice to be having a meeting on a sunny evening, although it'd be nice to be outside. So maybe we'll.
I think it was sunny last month, too.
It was sunny in August. Yes, we keep doing that. But anyway, so we're off to a good start. We're happy to have our new staff members settling in well, kind of a steep learning curve for many, lots of new faces, but they're all working really hard and off to a good start into week three. Staff in service in August was very productive. A lot of focus on literacy instruction in the elementary and lots of focus on collaboration and academic support career planning in the middle and high school, and just some general work getting to know their new principal, new counselor, and new staff. We are working with the medical center right now. We did not, at this point, we have not received the funding for additional funding for a nurse, but it's possible still that we might. But at this point, we've been in talks with medical center about trying to enter into some kind of an agreement with them to have some different medical support services available for specific needs, for training for teachers, reviewing medical protocols, medicine, giving out dispensing medications, and looking at our processes and giving us some feedback on things that have been in place for a while, concussion protocols, I mean, just things. So been working with Phil, it's been great, and met with Kirsten Testoni the other day from home health, and they, that's an agency in other places that does a lot of work as school nurse support. So it was an interesting conversation with them. And I think some opportunities for not just one person to maybe be involved with the school, but for them to sort of know what we need, and then find the right person to fit with that. So if we're looking for some specific training around diabetes or whatever it is, they would kind of look for the right person and to fit with what we need. And so it's not just one person. So I think it's going to be a pretty creative way to make that happen. And actually, we've been talking with the medical center for a couple of years about trying to do something like this. So I think something born out of COVID that may work out, you know, even better than it was before. So we're looking forward to that, working out the details. Our student count right now is looking good. At least the 425 is what we're hoping. I've had some notice recently of a few more kids that may be leaving us before our count date, but we're very optimistic. So I think that will be good for some conversation that we're having about activities and reinstating some funding for some other important areas, curriculum and supplies and such. So we're looking forward to that. Working with our local teachers union to update the teacher evaluation handbook. Looking at some recent changes that happened in 2019 before the world fell apart, and it's time to re-engage in that. Not that evaluation has not been happening, but just that we need to clean up our handbook and look at that again. We had our land tech architects, the ones that we awarded contract to, they came and did the work on August 30th and 31st to do a condition survey for the middle and high school roof. They were here for about 2 days total. That's the next step in the capital improvement process. They're going to get us a report soon. I think it's coming this week. And hopefully keep moving forward with that. We held our crisis response meeting last Thursday and realized that I think Katie actually said she would be on that committee. So.
Oh, yeah, I did.
We'll get you up to date with that. And no, I didn't invite you, which is what I realized.
I did go. Sorry you forgot to invite me.
I know, sorry I forgot to invite you. That's exactly right. I texted Sarah, I'm like,
I think so. Sure, I can come.
I can't remember.
It wouldn't have been a time you would have been able to come anyway.
Probably not. We'll get you right after school. And you'll have more opportunities to participate. But anyway,
I won't take it personally.
I know. We want you there. We'll get you there. Anyway, that was a very good meeting. Again, another thing that's kind of been, we've been living sort of in crisis response emergency situation for the last 2 years about COVID. It was nice to talk about other things. So that meeting was good and had a good conversation with different community partners that were here, some new faces and some places there too. So that was good. Our ALICE training modules, our district staff members are all doing an online training module to prepare for on-site training, which is happening this Friday and next Friday. Board members are welcome to attend those trainings if you want, and I can send you the dates and times if you want to come to any of those just to see the training. That's with Sergeant Aris and Becky Turland and Julie Walker from the Medical Center. They're doing the in-person presentation and kind of the drills and exercises that are going to happen in the schools. So we're doing middle and high school this Friday and elementary next Friday. So I can send you the information. If you want to come and sit in on any of that, you're welcome to do that. The training we hope we never need ever to use. We met this week again on a collaborative grant project with Sea Alaska Heritage Institute. We met with them last spring, and I think I talked a little bit about it. Focused on, it's a focus for our Alaska Native American Indian students and looking at college and career planning efforts and supporting them as they're going through their high school years and beyond. And so the first thing that's coming up soon is organizing a trip to Juneau for them to participate in a brand new, an Indigenous career planning day, a session, and then actually tying into the one that they do in Juneau at their school district. And so I think it'll be a great opportunity, and Mr. Cabral is going to get that meeting together with the Ping group, and we're looking for seniors first and then juniors who are interested. I think we can send four. They'll pay for four students and two chaperones to go to that training. So the timeline's pretty short. We have to have that conversation soon. They need names soon. I had on here a note about just giving a little update on the Alaska Reads Act, and they have started stakeholder panelist meetings. Heather has been on those panel meetings. I said two so far. There's one every day this week. And then we are having another session with that when we have our superintendent meeting in Homer at the end of the month. So there's a whole process for now, the end of the month. There's going to be regs will be put out for public comment all the way through December, and then looking to have the regs adopted and formalized by 2023. So I will let Heather give a little piece of information about that when she stands up if she wants to. As I said, I'm going to the Homer fall conference that's happening, the superintendent conference in Homer, September 27th to October 1st. We are talking about vape sensors in the high school, which is not a real fun topic, but something that other schools have started to research, and we started slowly researching them last spring. We do have some information about them. I do think that it's something that we will probably be installing, putting together a policy about that and a protocol for it. And yep, it is the new, it's a new age. So
would that be for high school and middle school?
All it would bathrooms? Probably be within all of these bathrooms in this building.
Okay. Yes.
Just as a reminder, I know it's in the handbook somewhere. What is like the disciplinary action for kids who do bring vape or get caught with that in this on school grounds? Mm-hmm. Just to refresh me.
Well, there's different levels of offenses with those. I mean, okay. At this point, there's certain things that happen for students that are in activities. There's certain yeah. things with them that are very specific. Mm-hmm. At this point, there's some leeway on the first ones that happen, like to be able to focus, talk with parents, be able to meet, have a conversation about focusing on health, and this has happened, suspending a kid for a first offense with a vape pen might not be get you what you think you might want to have happen with that, with discipline. So focusing on that, and then obviously if there's further offenses, they'll need to be addressed in a different way.
Okay.
And then I think the last thing I had was just to reiterate, it's been in all the bulletins, but this was another kind of exciting opportunity for us to participate in a free vision screening opportunity for all of our kids, open to everybody K-12, a partnership with the Tundra Health Initiative, Last Frontier Eye Care. Dr. Cami Kapp is coming to town. So we've been working with the medical center and then their agency to come and do vision screening. So not a close-up or eye dilation, but just a basic vision screening with an expert. So we're excited about that, and that's all kids. So unless people can opt their kids out if they want to, but it's part of a screening that we offer. So we haven't heard anything negative about that.
Didn't we used to do screenings pre-COVID? I thought we did
have,
with public health, but
we
it's too busy.
It's kind of hit and miss, and it depends on okay. who's available and how much yeah. time, and is it all kids, or is it, you know, it's hard. That's one of those things that would be really nice to have a school nurse that just coordinates it and does it. Takes care of it. But anyway, we're excited about that.
All right. Yeah. Any other questions or comments? Okay. We'll move on to elementary principal's report. Ms. Wolf Kahn.
Okay. So I submitted the report. I just wanted to hand a shout out to the breakfast changes. So we changed up a few things just because we didn't have enough free and reduced applications that came in, and I bet you now we do.
Good.
We had conferences, and those conferences, pretty successful conferences. I think we're going to have to change some things up for the next time, the next go around. We had 177 people present for our conferences, which is great. We have 208 students, so 177. We had a lot of declines in our conferences. So a lot of, if you need to know about my child or if you have any concerns, give me a call, but we're gonna stay home tonight. So we're thinking of changing a few things up. And those were a lot of phone calls there. So thinking of different ways to approach Introduction to My Child conferences next year. I already sent an email, scheduled email to myself for May of this coming 2023. I'm pretty proud of myself to remind me of
That's
those conversations.
Thinking.
Yeah, I like that kind of thing. So shout out to those breakfast changes. We're doing breakfast, hoping that students aren't coming to school hungry. If they are, they can come into the cafeteria, but there is set breakfast throughout the morning for each grade level. And so they go down to the cafeteria, they either eat in there or they bring their food back to their classroom, and that's where they eat their breakfast. We are serving fresh fruits and vegetables right now, currently with the grant, because they gave us a little bit of leeway with the applications that came in. So we're serving that at 2 o'clock in the afternoon, but that's just fresh fruits and vegetables for trial. It's here it is. This is what the fresh fruit is. This is what the vegetable, it's not something that fills us up. It's something that's a test taste trial so that we're introduced to different fresh fruits and vegetables. We have a music program back and I'm pretty excited about it. And she's already scheduled music program concert. So third, fourth, and fifth grade, we'll be doing a winter music and a spring music concert in the auditorium. Curious what it's going to be like and what it's going to sound like. Because I love going to sixth grade concerts. Although we might not have musical instruments, but I'm pretty excited to see what she does. It's pretty exciting. Our current enrollment is 208 students. We have one more on our way. So one more coming in, I think, the end of September. Our special ed numbers right now, we're looking at 43 IEPs and 5 referrals. The preschool is really getting those referrals. They're coming in right now. I don't have a report for September attendance, but I am tracking it. And then we just started our after-school programs this week. We have after-school snack for anybody who's in an after-school program, which includes swim, dance, and I think that might be it. We have after-school recess, homework busters, student council, Lego club, chess club, and four square club that are happening from 3 to 3:45, Monday through Thursday, and then Friday just after-school recess from 12:30 to 1:15. We had an awesome professional development opportunity and it was Smeckens Literacy Stations. We are in love. We love Christy McCullough and Smeckens right there. She really dove into developing literacy stations, 90-minute reading blocks. She gave us a couple different ways on how to rotate and what those stations might look like. So we really focused just on the development of the stations and how to implement them. And for the next couple months, we're going to really focus on what is the content that you're going to teach during the reading group. So what are those core pieces that you're going to teach within that reading group at your small group right there? And what are the other pieces that are being taught outside in those stations? Talked about conferences, talking about the MAP window. The MAP window is coming up. That's our district-wide assessment. It's going to be coming up September 26th through October 7th. And I think I want to talk just a little bit about that, just looking at our MAP growth and how that might look. And then it ties in a little bit with our Alaska Reads Act on what those proposals are and what we're looking at for the future. So I really want to be considerate in what I'm about to say. I'm saying it very kindly. There's no judgment here. And I just want you to know that I'm not, in no way am I judging who comes into our school or what time with what skill. So I want to state that, but I also think that it needs to be stated when you're looking at our district assessment. And I also think it needs to be stated when we're going to be looking at what the Alaska Reads Act entails here. So as a school, we don't get to determine whether or not a child is placed in preschool. We don't get to determine whether or not they even attend kindergarten, because as you know, it's not a state law, not here in Alaska. We don't get to determine if they read at home, and we don't get to determine where they stand in regards to the standards when they enter our school. So did they have all those pre-early literacy skills? We don't get to determine that. We do have some control over the growth by using our research-based intervention and monitoring their progress towards skills that we may find to be of a concern. So we have some control over those skills. So when we benchmark students according to our MAP data, when we look at their data, I just want us to consider that we can't control where they come in at versus what we can control just a little bit of that growth. So we may not see students as proficient on our district assessment, but that's not our fault. That's a piece of growth. They might not reach proficient, but they might grow within those parameters. So just getting off of the Alaska Reads Act, the state is really looking at matching the laws and the regulations. So they're looking at requiring kindergarten for kids. They're looking at the requirements of preschool or early literacy. It's not there yet. In other states, it is there, but here in Alaska, it's not there. We're not seeing it. They are looking at, because there's a piece in there about parents at home and what those requirements look like. We're not sure how they're going to try to match the laws and the regulations to reading to your child at home. We're not sure what they're going to look at as far as requiring our state to have a response to intervention program. And they're looking at the response to intervention program and trying to match it with discrepancies, which our district uses discrepancies in order to look at special ed and qualifications for special education. Well, now moving with the Alaska Reads Act, they're moving more into a response to intervention style, research-based interventions, research-based progress monitoring, everything's research-based. And so they're trying to match those laws and those regulations together. Hope that makes sense. No excuses. I just wanted to give you this information in regards to what we may need as a district to be met halfway with some of these requirements. So I think that we can do our job. The state also needs to do some of their job in making sure that these things are being met and that things are matching up a little bit.
We've said the same thing at all of our meetings. We give them the same feedback in our superintendent. Yeah.
And it's really hard, but they see it.
They do. Wonderful. They're hearing it.
Yeah. Yeah. They see it and they see where the mismatch is and they're willing to work or to try to figure it out. Yeah. So with that said, what's to come? Well, we have the Healthy Futures Challenge. Our health lessons start this coming Friday. We are heading to the principal's conference. Right. Yeah. There's an NEA conference at the same time as the principal's conference. So I think we're all going together on the same jet. The Rainforest Festival is coming, and we kind of got to determine some of those dates for what kind of events are going to come into the school. And that's all I have, guys. Any questions, comments?
Is there after school snack on Fridays too?
There is no after school.
Okay, yeah. I saw the time frame for that, and there was no time factored in. So
yeah.
Okay, good to know. Thank you.
Yeah.
Do you feel? I will admit, as a board member, that the Reads Act has frustrated me to no end because of, it seemed to be there was that disconnect of like, here, figure it out, and it's like, yeah. We don't get to dictate how they come into us, whether they come into us as a kindergartner or a third grader, or even older, but do you feel like that disconnect there's less of that with that understanding? Are they moving toward that? Or is there still going to be a pretty frustrating thing to try and enact?
I think they're on it. Okay. I do feel that they're on it. I would like to sleep. I'm going to go on hope here. So at the end of our conversation today, we were having this great conversation in regards to what is their next steps. Mm-hmm. And so after they've met with the panelists, mm-hmm. the superintendent, they are going to meet with the lawmakers. So they are going to start to weigh out what needs to happen according mm-hmm. to the law and try to match those a little bit better. I have hope for that. Mm-hmm. I hope.
I think so too. And they had a legislative panel at our meetings in July as well. Mm-hmm. And they heard all that. I mean, we've been beating this drum for a while, and it was good to see them there because they did have a panel and they were there. I think the message is starting to just be repeated over and over to it. Mm-hmm. And there's opportunities mm-hmm. for all of us for growth. I mean, continuing to strengthen partnerships with families mm-hmm. and parents, obviously. Mm-hmm.
Of but at course, the same time, there's only so much you can but, do in yeah. your yeah. time period that you have that student mm-hmm. and yet all the blame and the expectation is on the school district without any. Mm-hmm. Okay. I I felt like they weren't listening when they were developing the law, so why would we think they're going to listen now? But that makes me feel a little bit better. I'm a pessimist by nature, so. Comes to stuff like
how many minutes we are required in the day, what our contract hours are, and what those intervention pieces look like.
Mm-hmm.
And then who do we have providing those interventions outside of the contract time when our contract is so limited? It feels like it's limited mm-hmm. within, but that's everywhere.
Yeah.
That's, mm-hmm. I mean, that's just, that's not Petersburg. That's everywhere. Yeah.
So is that even part of the conversation, is the lack of even qualified specialists that could
and reading specialists.
Yes. So it's like you can make a law, but it doesn't mean we're going to have the people to actually institute it.
Yeah.
Okay. So that's part of the conversation with them.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Especially in, I mean, we're pretty good right
We're fortunate here.
Yeah.
We're fully staffed. I don't talk to her. I talk to very few districts that are fully staffed.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right now. Most are.
I think one district has 22 new Dillingham.
Dillingham.
22 new teachers.
Wow. Oh my goodness.
Yeah. And new superintendent. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Wow. And they are like,
They're about our size.
Oh my goodness. That is a lot of new teachers.
Yeah. Wow. Huge. That would be all.
Huge. Yeah. It would be a whole school's
worth. Wow. That's incredible.
So we're very fortunate in that sense.
Yeah. All right. I'm going to try and be positive. It's sometimes hard for Sarah.
We got it. We got a year.
We're beating the drum.
We got this.
Nah. Thank you. Any other questions or comments? Okay, we'll move on to our new principal for the middle school, high school, Mr. Moss. Welcome.
Hi. I'm going to, I have some good modeling of how to get into the minutia detail for next time.
Okay.
But this time I really just wanted to give a first impression, and that is the school is good. It's a really good school. It's certainly head and shoulders above any public school I've ever worked at, and it's much more reminiscent. In between public school jobs, I've worked in expensive private schools overseas with very high performance, and this looks a lot more like that than it does like other public schools I've worked at in the United States. So that's a really good thing. I think one of the things we got to benefit from is, you know, if it ain't broke, don't fix it thing, but I think it's going to take a while to see not just about fixing stuff, but how can we make things that work well work even better. One of the things, you know, when they say when you go to the gym is like, well, work on you have skinny calves, you need to work. Sometimes that's not the best thing to do. Sometimes it's best to work for your strong areas first and train to your strong areas, not just train to weaknesses. And sometimes there's a spillover effect. And I see opportunities to, you know, we get good performance. So I think there's a level of satisfaction that I would like to check out more and see what to do with it, where to go with it. There's always room for improvement. The best school, Harvard University, has to examine its practices and get better and discard things that aren't working and all that kind of thing. Two areas of development that are kind of urgent and that were sort of the basis of my coming here were some of the behaviors. We touched on it with the vaping incidents. And I think, you know, yes, all of the above, if we have sensors, and that's yet another deterrence, not to catch people, to prevent people. I don't want to catch anyone. That's the point. I want to have systems that are so strong that over time, you know, we have to be realistic. Let's say we have 100x and x is the undesirable thing. The first thing we want to do is cut it to 50. And then we've cut it to 50. Now we want to cut it to 25. And we just keep coming back until we get that number as low as we can get it. Understanding it's not probably realistic to ever get to zero, but that's sort of not the point. The point is mitigating as much as we can, because even though some people go, well, you know, this 3x over here really bugs me. And I go, well, yeah, but that 3x is only 3x. And you're not talking about the 45x that we reduced because we had these strong plans in place. And to that end, we are seeing some, you know, pretty quick payoff in just a couple of weeks of, you know, corralling middle schoolers, you know, positive energy and pushing back against some of the, I would say, rhetoric. I'm not really, that displeases me a little bit, saying somehow that they're bad or something. They're not bad. They're just they're squirrely, and they have positive energy. They're good kids. They just need to be, you know, have some of their improve on their judgment, cause them to reflect on how they're acting in a world where there are more than just middle school boys. The world is not, it's great. We don't want them to not be 12-year-old boys. We just want them to be 12-year-old boys who understand that they live in a world with people who aren't 12-year-old boys, right? But that's not the way, I think some people don't see it that way. And I want to sort of push back on that narrative too. Because it's my wife. Here, baby, I'll let you hear. I'm talking to the board. But don't talk because you're on the speaker, so you just have to come over to see if you want me to drive you home, or you can just walk because it's only 7 minutes. Oh, she hung up on me.
Oh, answer that question.
I cooked it. So, there's that. So then, like again, the vape is perfect. Do we have things that catch people because we're on top of it, that we're catching people? Yeah, but really that's kind of, that's sort of the failure of, that's when it fails. You're catching people because your deterrences have failed, or not failed, but just haven't gone to the, reach their top. So I think one of the things I'd like to see is possibly even board members wanting to do this, or high school parents who have sort of ideations about what could we do differently? What is a 21st century school? So the one thing I would say is I'm still seeing traditional instruction, which is fine, and it's quality, it's high quality, and it is preparing students for now, but it's not necessarily getting ahead of the curve. I think we do have to sort of have an eye for the future about what should the kind of education that we're offering look like, in terms of, sure, there's state standards and all that, but what are we doing to prepare our students? How are we responsive to our community? I am aware that, for example, students who have in the fishing industry might stop going to school at 16 because they can go straight to work. And I think that that's short-sighted, and there are opportunities to appeal to that community and engage in a way that shows the value of education, that in terms of real applications, chemistry, physics, biology, marketing, statistics, data, data management, a lot of different things that you get at a school, understanding that we do have to honor. I'd like to see us, I understand that there's been different times in education where different things are emphasized. One of the things that was emphasized for a long time is got to go to college. It's all about going to college. Well, maybe that's, between student debt and opportunities locally that exist to have a very good life without necessarily going to college right away and being on that train of high school to college and then get your master's degree and then finally hit the workforce when you're 28. Maybe that's what needs to be disrupted. Maybe that's out of date. Maybe there's a different model out there, and one that is more inclusive of the needs of members of our community. And so I'd like to look at all these kind of things. And I think one key thing would be to have some sort of, certainly the board to see firsthand, on sort of learning walk opportunity where we actually go around the school and see what are students learning, how are they learning, what are they producing? Are they sitting down for a test, or are they actually creating something? What is the end result of their learning? What does it look like? Are we satisfied with it? Do we think we need to move it into more 21st century norms? I don't know the answers to those yet. I need to see what the community expectation is. And sort of that has to be part of what the formula that informs us for how we need to move this forward. But I welcome the opportunity to start with the board, and eventually, somewhere down the line is have task forces of high school aged parents or something that are involved in, the vision, the vision of what it is that we're trying to produce. So that's basically those are the things I'm looking at right now.
Great. We do have strategic planning on the books.
It's coming up in January, so it sounds like a perfect segue.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's good.
Great.
Okay. Any questions or comments? Okay. Well, thank you.
Okay.
All right. Director of Activities, I think I saw Mr. Crawl come in.
Straight from volleyball.
35 of them.
35.
That's awesome. You did good. Yeah, lots of things happening. For those of you that missed out on our fantastic cross-country meet, thank you, everybody who was there. It was fantastic through the fog. Thank you. There's a lot of things, and I'll get to that. But PHS cross-country rolling, we had one trip canceled due to weather. We did not want to go surfing in 7-foot swells, so we did a home meet instead, which is great because our kids got to run our course one more time before the big show with everybody else. But and then we had 150 runners show up. Besides, we had a mechanical on the plane, and thank you to everyone for getting into Banana Point and our bus drivers, because we ended up doing 4 runs out to Banana Point in a matter of 3 hours. It was great. We got everybody here safe and sound, so it was good. And thanks to everybody for being there. It was awesome. Good community support too. Natural traffic blockers with our fans. It worked great to keep our runners safe, but it was really good. Everybody got home safe and sound, so that was good. They are also heading to Ketchikan this weekend on the wonderful Ward Lake course, so a lot more teams there. But we ended up having 14 total teams here this past weekend, which was really cool, because the last time that happened was 2019, so it was awesome. Swim and dive, also they were part of the little weather issue, so not able to make the first meet, but it was okay. There was, I think, only 2 teams that made that first meet. So they are also heading to Ketchikan this weekend for a busy, busy weekend down there for the K-High Kings with cross-country and swimming the same weekend. If you're bored and need something to do, Saturday, 11 a.m., our middle school cross-country is going to be running, and our meet we tripled the size of our meet, so it's going to be great. We have Schoenbar Middle School, Heidelberg coming, Wrangell coming, Ketchikan Charter School coming. So we're going big. It's going to be awesome.
11?
11 for girls, 11:40 for boys. And I'll send out that information tomorrow of our route, because our route is different on this one. We start at the elementary and finish on the Wicked Hill. Down at the bottom over here, because it's an uphill finish. So anticipating about almost 100 runners for this one, so it's going to be awesome. It'll be way cool. Super fun for those kiddos. And we also found a meet for them that works great. Our 7th and 8th graders will be headed to Haynes. The ferry works perfect. They are going to, we have some logistical things that we work with the ferry, and it's going to work great. They're going to jump on it on Friday night, and they will get off the boat in Haynes at 11. We're going to run with Skagway, Floyd, Dryden, Haynes, and DZ in Haynes. They get to hang out for about 4 hours in Haynes and then jump back on that same ferry that they just got off of. It's going up to Skagway, spinning around, turning around, put the kids back on there. They get to sightsee in Sitka for about 2 hours and then come home Monday morning at 3, and they miss 0 school.
Nice.
Oh, it's awesome.
They'll be sad that they don't get to miss things. They'll be kind of sleepy on a day, though.
They'll be a little sleepy Monday morning. They go, do we have to come to school? I go, welcome student athlete to that life. So they'll be here Monday, bright-eyed and cheery. But yeah, they'll be able to run up there in Northbound, and I think a lot of them have never been to Haynes. So we've never been to Haynes for a cross-country meet, and it works great. So excited for that. Middle school robotics is also rolling, and we got about 9 kids there. We're trying to build a little bit more. We got a heavy 6th grade population in there right now, which is awesome. That number might change a little bit more once middle school cross-country is kind of over too, so we can kind of mesh them both together. So robotics is off and running. Mr. Ward and Mr. Crump are doing it. Cindy Fry has retired from middle school robotics. So those kids will be working on their lovely projects and all of their robots, and I'm sure we will have a presentation for you this year at some point on whatever their project is. I'm not going to give it away yet. So I don't want to steal their thunder. High school volleyball is rolling. We are almost 1 full week in, and the kids are staying busy. We got a lot of them out there, which is great. Upcoming home events, middle school cross-country this Saturday, high school swim September 30th, October 1st with Juno Douglas, Thunder Mountain, Ketchikan, Craig, Sitka, and us. And then October 7th, 8th, we have home volleyball with Juno Douglas here, which is going to be our first home games with somebody else in 2 years, because last year we couldn't get our home games in. So it's been a while. So Petersburg's popping. It was great. I think Papa Bears almost ran out of dough.
They did.
So we're going to keep the businesses rolling. I've got a mass email that I sent out to all the businesses too, kind of giving them a heads up and what's coming up for the week so that they know how to prep and what's coming. So yeah, don't forget to buy gear if you want.
what works really good is kind of create your wish list and put it in the cart. And then when the subtotal gets to 800, then tell your kids to take stuff off. Because that's what we did. And it's like, I want this. I'm like, whoa, no. But it's super cool. You still get the 25% off on our Viking store, which is amazing. And I heard really good reviews about it. And 10% of that will come back to us. What we're also looking into is having the senior sweatshirts, maybe doing that route too, a little bit easier on money gathering and everything else. So kind of see looking around for that stuff.
Yeah.
The store is awesome, super cool. And you can put your last names and stuff on too. Our website, trying to figure out a way to make the activities website a little bit more interactive with like what's coming on there. There's a lot of information on there, but like one central location of finding like what time and things are happening. So I'm working on that one rather than just being like one Facebook and everything of that sort. But the activity calendar is always up, rolling. I hit the Sitka October 1. And 2, and we will finalize all of our winter and spring activities at that meeting with all of our 14 new ADs in the meeting. So
it's a lot of new ones.
Yeah, it's a lot. But it's great. I'm going to teach them.
Get them all lined out.
Yeah. Yeah. It's going good, though. It's awesome.
Well, thank you for all your hard work.
Yes.
Last weekend. Holy smokes. Just awesome. Seeing it all.
Yeah.
Realizing how much you were running around.
Oh, my. It was great. It was a short night. Friday to Saturday, but it was wonderful. It was awesome. Coach Thompson woke up with me at 4:45 and got up here, and we got the course ready to rock at 5 in the morning. So,
oh my goodness,
it was good. Coach Thompson and Coach Aaron did great doing everything. And thank you to the parents for the spaghetti feed. That was really well done. Even waiting for our last team to come into Banana Point, and they were super tired because they were up since 3:30, catching the 6 a.m. out of Sitka.
Oh, that's right.
So they had a long day. Everybody made it home safe, so it was good. Yeah, absolutely.
Thank you. Any questions, comments? Oh, yeah. Thank you.
Awesome. It's good to see you.
Hi. All right, we'll move on to school board committee reports. Crisis.
I wasn't invited.
I did attend it. It was good. We had a few questions by the end of it, but I think they're figuring out the answers. So. Curriculum, what is on the docket this year?
I don't.
It is fine arts, PE.
Thank you.
Yeah.
PE. Fine arts and PE. Okay.
I haven't seen anything come my way yet, though.
Not yet.
Okay.
That would be a fun one, though. Fine arts and PE.
Facilities, Jay, you guys probably haven't noticed. School's barely gotten going, but no. Legislative liaison, we've depended heavily on Mara to keep us up to speed when they are in session. No negotiations policy, Carrie?
Like, we need to schedule.
We should probably schedule.
Yep. Yeah.
Okay.
Pick up where we were.
Get going again.
Mm-hmm. And I get back going. Mm-hmm. Technology, Jay, probably nothing yet. Okay. And wellness, probably.
Nothing yet, but maybe. I feel like we should do something.
We are
soon.
Going to.
Am I invited, though?
Yes, you will be.
It's going to be the running
I do work for the wellness department now. Yes, I feel like I should be a part of this.
I feel like we were brainstorming about the beginning of November, but then it was
the school board
not
conference
sure about the
and
school
then the
after
school network conference is in November as well.
So we'll
go into that.
We will figure out a date that will work for that.
Okay. Since there's no old business, we'll move on to new business, which is a discussion about the fiscal year 2023 budget. So when the fiscal year 23 budget was passed in the spring, there were a number of unknown factors. Since then, the state legislature has passed an additional one-time funding outside the base student allocation, or BSA. We're hopefully superintendent as well as director of finance is hoping the board will provide some direction as to where these additional funds will be budgeted, and we'll ask for any supplemental budget revision to be presented in October to, based on our discussion tonight, if we move that way. First, I'll make a motion to provide direction to the superintendent to reinstate funding to the activities, curriculum, and professional development budget line items, bringing them closer to the amount that was actually spent in fiscal year 2022. This budget then would be revised at the October board meeting. Could I get a second?
Second.
Motion's been made and seconded by Jay, and now we can have a discussion about it. So what prompted it for me was a question even just in August was, even with the learning lab and freshman success is this engagement issue. And with our high numbers of kids that are in activities and sports, I wanted to make sure that that was fully funded because I was concerned about middle school not being able to travel, which has, although we think that shouldn't be a carrot stick, but it is a carrot stick for many in middle school. And then plus I was concerned about high school losing kids to activities, which then kind of starts a snowball effect for some, not all, but a lot of kids become disenchanted with school and it's harder for them to have that incentive to be engaged. So knowing that we had some reserves, we had more than our 10% required. And then knowing that our numbers came in a little bit higher and then also this outside funding, I had asked, talked to both Erica and Karen about putting this on the agenda for going back to what was actually spent last year, not what was budgeted because we did go over budget because stuff happens throughout the year. But I wanted to at least move forward into the next year with what we spent the previous year. So that's what kind of brought this about. So I don't know what your feelings are, board. You kind of pipe in. You're talking about $50,000 is what I call increase. So it's not some, but by reinstating those line items to what was actually spent in 2022, you're looking at about a $50,000 increase to the budget.
That's for activities.
For activities, yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The other ones were much smaller.
I definitely support going funding going back towards our activities, making sure that's, I like that idea.
I agree. I think our kids kind of got shortchanged for the last couple of years, so we don't want to cut them short this year when we finally can let them have some activities and travel. So
Did Karen's budget have a cut?
Mm-hmm.
It had a cut.
Yeah.
And so this corrects that.
Mm-hmm. It reinstates it to what was actually spent in 2022.
What was going to be cut, Jamie?
You're going to be at 135 was the first number.
But I mean, like, where were you going to, where were you going to trim it?
The trim would be each high school activity that is required to attend a conference meet or something of that sort, because each activity is different in what they're required to do as far as seating for regionals before they go to state would have been only two. It could only do two away trips.
Fundraise the rest.
And then fundraise everything else. And all of middle school would have been cut completely to where the kids would have to pay for their trip entirely. Not sure what the ferry schedule is going to look like in the winter, but they're planning on bringing the Kennecott out once the Matanuskas run is done going south right now. And then the Columbia is set to come on, but it's not a guarantee because they're not sure if they're going to have enough crew. And so that's kind of one of the stipulations, but that schedule hasn't come up. But that's what it would have been cut to two maximum. Yeah.
So my thought was I didn't want to see fundraising, trying to get more money from the community if we have it in our savings account already. Mm. That's where I was heading because I thought it essentially has already been taken from the community, whether it's from the state or from the federal government. If we can afford to take that money from either, if we didn't have enough, then go back to the borough, say we need more than the 17% increase you gave from the previous year to this year, but that's the only increase we had in 22 years. So I was more than willing to go back to the borough and say, okay, you need to make up this gap that we have right now in order to not see that happen. Cause it's like, it's going to come from somewhere. It's either going to come from our savings. It's going to come from the borough's funds, which have already been collected from taxpayers, or it's going to come from more fundraising, which is coming from local taxpayers. So to me, it was just where's that pot of money need to come from?
And in 2021, we didn't allow any fundraising whatsoever from any activity because we didn't want to hit the businesses because they already got a hit from how many shutdowns there were. Mm-hmm. And we fundraise maybe at the top end.
Yeah, maybe one.
Maybe.
Was it for close-up?
25,000. That's like the top end of year that we would go from.
Yeah, I would say close-up was probably the biggest fundraiser.
Close-up was probably the biggest fundraiser, and we wouldn't even come close to that, for, like fundraising that for the community because we have so
we haven't done it for a while.
And it's the same entities that we keep hitting for our 26 different activities that
and
we
I
have.
I feel like not only like our kids after the last couple of years deserve their activities, but having a well-supported activity program is appealing to outsiders that are maybe looking to come to Petersburg. Mm-hmm. Or enroll their kids in public school. So well, it's not just about making sure we got the ones that are currently with us, but it does make a difference.
I also was a little bit worried, you know, curriculum having a reduction in curriculum as well as the professional development budget line items.
Yeah.
That sometimes come, especially professional development comes into play also with job satisfaction. Yeah. That we don't, you know, the teachers have done a lot and staff have done a lot over the last couple of years or 3 years really. And to, you know, especially if there are conferences they haven't been able to attend for a couple of years that now are back in session and not to have be able to potentially go because it wasn't enough money in the budget. If we can, yeah, we always, having a healthy savings account is very important, but at this point we are exceeding the requirement for the state, our 10%. So that's where I think if we were below that, I would be much more reluctant to do any changes to the budget, but that's where.
Yeah, I think anything we can do related to teacher retention, as mm-hmm. we're seeing nationally for mm-hmm. all sorts of occupations, that's pretty important mm-hmm. to support.
How much are we proposing to add to the professional development?
Well, the good thing that we also found out since the budget is that we did receive, so this SRSA funding that we've received for about 5 years finally did also come through in September, and that's about $30,000. That's separate from all of this. So, and that's what we typically use for our professional, a lot of our professional development. So that's also not even included in this number. So that's good.
How much is it? You're planning on adding a proposal?
You mean in October?
Yeah.
Well, we would be reinstating probably 50,000 for activities, and I would assume, I have to go back and look at the curriculum, but I would assume that it will be about 30 to 40,000 for curriculum.
Yeah, the last email I got from, when we were talking about was 50,000 mm-hmm. for activities, and then we consider increasing the activities, the supply and materials budget by $10,000 to $15,000 total, because that was what approximately how it was cut by. Mm-hmm. So you're talking 65,000.
And then curriculum is not in that email.
Oh, it yeah, it isn't, isn't it?
40.
Okay.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Which, that's what it is. I mean, it's about $100,000. That's what I would say. Yeah.
And that email was the budget reserve.
200.
The 200.
One, no, I'm sorry. The one-time funding that they also put in June was about 200,000 increase as
okay.
well.
So
even without student numbers, we feel comfortable with that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So yeah, just having those conversations with both Erica and Karen, they felt comfortable with reinstating that based on the additional funding that was received. And also still, you can still go back to the borough if we need to, or which is kind of where I would be inclined if we need to, if that was the next step.
And if we come in under the, 425?
We still have the one-time funding that I think would address this. And we, you know, and we had built the budget originally that we brought to you, didn't have the one-time funding in it and was built on like 412 students.
Oh, perfect.
So we built it on that.
Mm-hmm. So, when is our count date again? We'll know that by our October.
Well, no, we won't know it
by our October meeting. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. We feel comfortable.
Okay. So, any other discussion or questions?
And we'll bring you the details on the specific,
Yeah, we'll still have to vote next October. Yeah, next month on the actual budget, on the numbers, but motion has been made and seconded to provide the direction to the superintendent to reinstate funding to the activities, curriculum, and professional development budget line items, bringing them closer to the amount of actually what was spent in fiscal year 2022. And so we'll also see that budget revision in detail next month. So motion's been made and seconded. Mara, can you please call the roll?
Megan Litster?
Yes.
Katie Holmland?
Yes.
Sarah Holmgren?
Yes.
Carrie Case?
Yes.
Jay Lister?
Yes.
Okay, motion passes 5-0. Next, we'll move on to 13.2, which is a discussion item for the Alaska Association of School Boards annual conference that falls in November. Its theme is ensuring opportunities for all students, and it will feature 4 days of engaging sessions and lots of timely topics. It's usually a pretty good conference to attend. It's November 3rd through the 6th of November. We may have, if we have more than two board members able to attend, we'll let the public know. We have always been very good about not discussing anything that we shouldn't while up there, but we're all pretty busy in different and scatter well, I think, in the past to try and get to different classes and sessions so that we're all learning something to bring back. But the district does budget for this training for all school board members, since we have continuously believed it's essential training for new as well as returning members. So just kind of curious if anybody's able to make it. And if so, I will say usually we have gone up on a Thursday, sometimes on a Wednesday. They do have a few things on Thursday for new members or new board members. And then you can stay through Sunday. Sunday is they have the voting of the resolutions to push forward to the state legislature. I've done it once and stayed for it. It was kind of interesting, but not felt Petersburg such a small district that we don't have a whole lot of influence, that it's more just kind of informational. So not necessarily needed. If you stay for it, then you miss the flight and you have to wait till Monday to come home. So it usually was convenient to fly home on Sunday. Was anybody able to attend this year?
I'm hoping to be able to go.
Okay.
I think I can.
Okay, great, Carrie. I will be able to attend. I would hope whoever gets elected for Meg's seat is able to attend. I think at this point, do we just have one person? Okay, Nicole Olson has thrown her hat in the ring, which we're pleased with. It would be great to have her on the board unless there's a write-in candidate. But at this point, sounds like she might be the only one, and myself. So that'll be, hopefully, if she's able to go, that would be great. Mm-hmm. But we can have that discussion next month. Okay. Yeah, if you decide you want to go, then let Mara know so that she can make the arrangements.
When do you need to know by, Mara? What's the ideal time frame here for that?
The earlier the better, just because
okay.
The cost of tickets does go up and the rooms get booked.
Okay. I'll try to get an answer to you by next
week. It's at Captain Cook this year, not the Hilton.
Okay. Okay, next we'll talk about 13.3, which is our strategic plan. Every 5 years, the district reviews and renews its strategic plan, and the district has contracted with the Association of Alaska School Board Trainer Timmy Tullis, who actually helped us last time, 5 years ago. She'll lead this process January 17th through the 19th, 2023, which will include a community survey, a 2-day on-site workshop, and 8 hours of follow-up work. So we will be going out into the community and asking for people to help participate. It does require you to hopefully can take 2 days off work, or if you happen to be, you know, quiet time of year for you because you're seasonal, we would love to have parents and community members or both participate. They did last time and it was a big group, but it was a very productive group, I thought.
Yeah.
It went well.
And we feed people.
Yes, and you get fat. But it is a long, long couple of days, but it's necessary and a really good thing. So hopefully we'll be able to round up some community members as well as board members that can participate. So just keep that on your radar. Okay. Any questions on that? Okay, moving on to 14. Any additional comments from board members?
I have a comment. My farewell comment, since this is my last board meeting. So I came on the board. Mara and I were trying to figure it out. March 1st, 2020.
Fun. Why did you do that?
2 weeks later, I got COVID. And 3 weeks later...
That's right.
All hell broke loose. And I've been thinking about this a lot. Like, this board, nobody could have ever predicted what we were about to experience as school board members. Same with, you know, our borough assembly and all those people. And it's been an honor to serve alongside you all. Carrie being newer, we're the newest on the board. Cheryl also, but it has been an honor. I have been continuously impressed with the integrity of this board, despite the community and also you, Erica, but despite the community being really ugly and incredibly disappointed in our community. And for all of you to show up and do this with integrity and honestly with courage, knowing what we were coming into sometimes, has just been a difficult yet an experience that I'm proud of. And I am also quite excited that this is my last meeting. I'm going to miss you guys.
You can come heckle us. Okay, yeah, sorry, I had to keep my, yeah. But I think it's wonderful, the person who is running. It's been nice to see her here being a steadfast advocate and a respectful community member. So that's wonderful. And so thank you and farewell to all of you.
Thank you for your service. And I believe you were on before 2020 as well.
In fact, I was just thinking that I was at that strategic meeting 5 years ago. So I did that. Mm-hmm. And I did that for, I didn't quite fulfill that term because I came to work for the school. Right. And then, so yeah. And then I came in a partial to fill an empty seat in 2020, right before. Had I known, I still would have volunteered. Yes.
Well, we certainly appreciate your service and time and perspective. Mm-hmm. Both times you've been on the board.
Thank you. And you know, it's been interesting. Like I was reflecting today, I won't go on and on, but I was reflecting today through this process. You know, I think my voting history shows that I didn't always agree with everybody. Sometimes I was the outlier. Sometimes there were a couple outliers, and yet we are respectful and kind and still a really highly functioning board, I think. And that was a great experience for me to be able to know, like I was coming in knowing that I probably wouldn't agree. And yet at the end of the day, we can all be, doing this for the same purpose to educate our kids. So thank you.
Thank you. Right. Moving on. Upcoming dates and meeting announcements. You, as Jamie pointed out earlier, we've got the activity calendar as well as the academic calendar on the website, which is pcsd.us. So, if there's anything else? We have that middle school cross country meet next Saturday or this Saturday.
Looking for volunteers.
Yeah. 16, any future agenda items? We'll have the budget on there to review, and maybe we'll have another update on, I guess that's probably it at this point. If there's any, if you're able to have met for policy, but no pressure, because I know it's like try and get, you know, just to see if there's anything to do in the first reading.
Yeah, and I'll have come back from my conference too, so I'll
update. And will the policy, you mentioned a policy that might have to be written or developed for to install vaping because of its uniqueness. Is that something that AASB can give guidance on? I'm going
to do some research on that.
Because I'm wondering if maybe they might have something already written that could be considered.
There's some language out there.
Or if there's an existing policy that can be amended.
We know who to call.
We have to. Yes. Okay. Any other new business? Okay. Hearing none, I'll make a motion to adjourn.
I'll second.
Motion's been made and seconded by Katie. All those in favor? Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion passes 5-0. Have a good evening.